ready.
Bases loaded, Bulls wanting to add on with two outs in the bottom of the eighth.
Aim.
Oh, man, he corks that ball deep to right field.
Bullseye.
The track, and it gets over the wall! A grand slam!
This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
And that one clears the fence. The Bulls do go back-to-back.
We'll talk with head coach Billy Moe.
They've been playing hard. They've been swinging the bats well.
Catch up with one of the players and get you up to speed with all things USF Athletics.
Guess you can't ask for much better than that.
Now, your Bullseye hosts, Jim Lauk, Kaylee Cottrell, and Derek Sharp.
Hey, we're outside for Bullseye this time. I believe that would be a first. Let's see, football season started off in the IPF, which was good. Basketball, and we'll have one more basketball show down the road. And we'll talk about the men's season that just wrapped up in a little bit. But yours truly, Derek Sharp, along with Kaylee Cottrell and Jim Lauk. First of all, Jim, I never got to say officially thank you for filling in the one time.
Sure.
It's a pretty fun gig we got going on here.
Not bad.
And we will get to baseball here in just a little bit. And as I'm just remembering, I move my hands a lot, so I'm going to sit on them right now. So we've got head coach Billy Moe, and we'll get to the baseball squad in just a second. I know Jim Lauk, you call the game on the TV side. I do on the radio side. There's a lot to talk about already. We're going to hear from Billy Moe, along with one of his absolute leaders, Ben Rosenblum. We'll also talk about someone that plays baseball, but also on the side is a football player. And I know you guys can't wait to see this. Kaylee Cottrell, you got to interview Bryce Archie about everything that he has going on.
Oh, he's fantastic. You know, him being a multi-sport athlete is, you know, he's always loved both sports. And when he had that conversation this past year that he could do both, he said he called his dad and his dad started crying and was so happy. So it was really fun to talk to him and, you know, hear about their schedules and coordinating this and that and taking a different flight and getting here and there. And he's also a health science major, which is a hefty major. So,
unreal.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it, but he's a good guy.
One of the little things that have been going on with this team that we get to go into deeper here on the hour or so of Bulls, I know, Jim, they just gave us this past weekend alone a lot of memories baseball, but they've been a fun team to watch and a winning record so far and off to a winning start in conference play, more importantly.
I really like how they're made up, and last weekend was a perfect example. They have everything go wrong in game one of the series on Friday night. They lose 16-7. They're playing in rain the whole night, just the gloomiest night you can possibly imagine. They get out in game two. They come up with a win. They win game three, take two of three. And it really showed a lot, I think, about the team.
Yeah, and they've played an incredibly loaded schedule. You look at who they started off the season with, Indiana State, UConn, and Florida State, all these teams that are in the top 20. UCF is a top 10 team, and now in conference, they're 2-1. And again, we'll talk to Billy Moe in just a little bit and Ben Rosenblum. You also got a chance recently throughout your travels around campus to meet some of the new members of the football coaching staff. So who are we looking at today?
Yeah, so today another feature will be DeMarcus Van Dyke, DVD, with our cornerbacks, and he brings so much juice to the defense. He is so fun. I've been at practices all week too, and the guys love him, and he has so much energy and brings all the vibes. So he was a fun one to talk to, so I'm excited for that one coming
up. We know that the spring football game is coming up, and I had a chance to just say hi to Coach Gullish for a little bit yesterday. He's been hanging out a lot lately at the Yingling Center. And before we get into the full-on baseball portion of the show, I wanted everybody's last thoughts on men's basketball. I know the ultimate goal is the NCAA tournament, but the way it worked out, to be able to, if you can't make the big one, go to UCF and win, and then get to have that one last home experience. I thought Sunday night, despite the final result, the Bulls lost 70-65, close game throughout against a really good VCU team. I thought that was a pretty memorable way, and the crowd was fantastic.
I think when you look back on this year, you can argue all day long, what's the greatest year in men's basketball history? There's no right or wrong answer. Maybe this was it, maybe it wasn't because it was the NIT. But I think what made this year so special is that it came from absolutely nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody expected 25 wins. Nobody expected a 15-game winning streak. Nobody expected the crowds that we saw at the end of the season in the Yingling Center. That's how this year will be remembered. And it was, you know, for somebody that's been through a lot of seasons with that program and with that team, it was just great, great fun to be a part of it.
And Kaylee, I don't know about you, but myself being there, but we have the radio calls, and I listen back and cut up highlights, right, with Jim Lighthall and Joey Johnson. And at the very end, they were getting worked up emotionally.
And that's the one that's going to do it. 4-point lead, and that's it.
Well, Coach, on behalf of Jim and myself and every fan in here, thank you for what has been a great, great season.
I think this team sort of stuck with us in a different way.
Absolutely. And even the connection that they've made with the fans and with campus, you know, that final game, seeing the line of students wrapped around the buildings was so cool. And that environment in there, and I'm just so proud of the guys. It's been very special for me.
And Kaylee, you've been here a couple years. Jim and I, just a few more years
here
and on this planet. And we all got to say thank you to that team one last time. And I know a lot of fans did. And what I really liked was it was not just a great crowd in the Slo Food Rodeo and everything that's been getting attention, but it was a basketball knowledgeable crowd, something that gets you excited about next year. But now we are in definitely baseball season. And we'll speak with the head coach of the Bulls baseball team, Billy Moll.
Dramatic win Saturday, and now one pitch from a win on Sunday, and they get it! He can't check his swing! Striking out the side is Riley Skene! What a victory on a Sunday afternoon. The Sunday Golds shine for the Bulls.
You found the all-new South Florida Coaches Show on the radio, Bullseye, on Bulls Unlimited.
Derek Sharp with Jim Lauk, and now joined by the head baseball coach, Billy Moll. We've got him up from the dugout here on the Donaldson deck. We tried to get it all spiffed up here for you with the indoor football facility in the background and the palm trees. And out of your usual realm, last time we talked, I think we had played one game, and now we're 24 games in, so we're not going to do a recap. But in general, a lot has happened this season. Bulls are on the right side of it as far as the winning record goes. How are things going so far from your point of view?
You know, it's been good. There's been a lot of fight from our guys. We've obviously battled some adversity here lately with players in and out of the lineup due to injuries and stuff like that. But the next man up mentality, Stuart Puckett and those guys have done a good job of taking the baton and running with it. So it's off to a good start. Still got a lot of season left to go.
Coach, you made some significant off-season moves, bringing Chris Cates and Alan Kunkel back, you working directly with the pitchers, commitment to small ball, stealing bases, getting bunts down, moving guys up. You're a couple dozen games in now. How has that worked out? Have you been pleased with the results?
Yeah, I think offensively we're a little bit more dynamic. I actually pulled up the stats from a year ago when we were 21 games in, and we were hitting about 250 with three stolen bases. And you look forward to a year later, we had 44 stolen bases and we're hitting 280. So, you know, kudos to the coaching staff for getting those guys to buy in, but even more so the players for buying in and executing the things that we're asking of them.
The stolen base numbers he just mentioned very casually, already above last year's total. And of course, I'm sure you thought, like everybody going into this year, that Ben Rosenblum would be your steals leader. It's been amazing. But talk about your left fielder, I mean first baseman, I mean catcher, DH, and what he's done.
I call him the Terminator. You know, there's nothing that stops him. You watch him play a game, he's getting hit all the time. He's getting banged up.
Popped them, and now he's plucked Ben Rosenblum, and Ben has been hit for a third time tonight.
He's kind of our heartbeat in that dugout. If he goes, we go. The toughness he brings to the field every day, the passion he has for wanting to win. You know, I'm glad he's back. He's a fifth-year senior, and you know, I love watching him go out and do his thing every day.
Something else.
We're going to talk a lot about Bryce Archie on the show. There have been some two-sport athletes in the history of USF athletics. Not a lot of football, baseball. The guy that comes to mind, probably Otis Dixon back in the late 90s or so. So it doesn't happen very often. You've got to share him with football, especially this time of year with spring practice. But he looks better every time out there. Tell us a little bit about the manipulations you and Alex Golish have to go through to keep him busy in both sports.
We're keeping him busy. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he's the second football player I've had. You know, Tommy Eveld was the last one I had who, you know, he came from football. And, you know, Bryce is a little bit different. You know, it's been working with Coach Golish on this. I mean, the kid's performing on the field. For us, baseball-wise, Coach Golish thinks he's getting even better on the football field. So, you know, Bryce is just a special talent. I mean, to wake up out of bed and come out not playing for 2 years and to throw a ball 94 miles an hour, that's a God-given talent that you can't teach.
Called strike three. Wow, Bryce Archie just dialing up the heater, keeping it low in the zone, and that was extremely, extremely impressive.
You've seen it as the year goes on. He's gotten better each outing. You know, he's a special talent, and I'm glad he's on our side.
It's funny, I was speaking with Mike Lofton before a press conference of football the other day, and they're very impressed with what he's doing. What's been the reaction from the baseball player side of things? I'm sure they welcomed him.
you know, the nice thing about getting a football guy, he brings that toughness right away. Like, you know, nothing phases Archie, you know, playing in front of 25,000 or playing in front of 2,000. He's already been in big moments, so he knows what that's like, and I think that rubs off on some of our guys. To see a guy who hasn't played for 2 years, he comes in, he'll chug a Cherry Coke and a Snickers bar and then go throw 94, 95 for four innings. I mean, you know, he just goes out and does the job, and that's what you want our guys to, you know, to be able to go do.
As people are watching this, chugging their Cherry Coke and Snickers bars and seeing if it works out for them.
Well, now you're going on the road and you're keeping Bryce in the rotation. How are you going to get him where he needs to be with football practice? He's not always traveling with you guys.
I try to get the private jet, but I don't have that kind of pull around here yet. But no. Bryce will practice with football on Friday, and then he will fly out later that afternoon once he's done with football, and he'll start on Saturday against Charlotte, and then he'll get the luxury of flying commercial back home with us on Saturday night. So he's going to get introduced to the real world when it comes to travel.
Has he gotten a bus trip in yet, though? Because those are very special in baseball.
Yeah, he's gotten a couple bus trips.
Okay. So. Chris Cates, by the way, not just the assistant coach, but also the MC on the bus trips. You guys miss out on that, unfortunately. Let's talk about your game two starter these days. Jack Siebert's been doing a great job, and I thought it was probably your most brilliant coaching move to finally get his bat in the lineup, as you did this last week. And might have been a snafu with the scoring card, but man, did it work out. Not just pitching-wise. Take us through that.
Yeah, I mean, Jack's finally kind of settled into what we thought he should be, going out there and giving us 5-6 innings, quality start every time. You know, he's obviously got more velo this year and stuff, and again, he's back to pitching again. So, you know, then the bat in the lineup, I don't know if you guys saw him on deck, he was waving to his mom, he was waving to his dad, and I'm like, Jack, you're getting ready to hit, you need to pay attention. And then he goes in and gets a sack bunt down.
Did not see this coming, and he is squaring to bunt, and Siebert looks like he's relishing the opportunity.
Oh, that is a beautiful bunt.
A jack of all trades.
First thing, he came back to the dugout and said, it's not that hard to do, is it, fellas?
Oh, my gosh. Of course he said
but
that.
But it was fun. It was fun to see our guys pull. It was fun to see that dugout erupt. Brought us a new sense of energy during that game. And, you know, I don't know if we'll see him back out there again, but it was a cool experience for him.
Well, it was a critical series. First in conference, you dropped the first one. Then you get that big win, and guy that scored one of the key runs in that game too, he kind of got overshadowed at the plate by Siebert, but Chandler Dorsey drew the walk.
3-2. And how about that? Chandler Dorsey works a walk.
Scored a key run.
Yep. Chandler put on the uniform and stood in the batter's box.
Yes.
Actually drew a walk.
That's
and
all
then
you
scored.
Do so sometimes.
I was more worried because he was on base for a while that if he was going to have his legs under him to close out the ninth. And I think he was a little fatigued after that, but, you know, I mean, pitchers are athletes, as they say.
Important series victory, obviously, to get it going in conference after losing the first game. And a guy that carried you all weekend long and has been doing so well this season, just got named the AAC Player of the Week, John Montes, has gotten that batting average up above 400. People might not realize this. A couple weeks ago, he had a little bit of a shoulder situation, and you've had enough injuries to worry about. You don't want anybody else out of the lineup, but he's been huge.
He's been absolutely huge, you know. He is a calm, cool, collected senior. He kind of went through the battles of the draft and all that the pressure last year, and now he's just playing the game. He's a fun-loving kid. When he plays loose and free, he has success. And he's been able to maintain that, and that's going to be the key for him as the season continues and progresses, is if he can just stay and be himself. And when he does that, he's a really good player.
And you just mentioned the draft. I'm guessing that a little bit of the same thing is going on with Mr. Brutcher, who is just looking very relaxed up there among the nation's leaders in walks and, of course, can still hit the crud out of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Brutcher is a calm, cool senior right now. You know, he's drawn walks at an incredible rate. The knock went on him was always he struck out too much, and now he's giving quality. That's why he's in our leadoff spot. It's quality at bat after quality at bat after quality at bat.
What has surprised you, pleased you? Are there any surprises, or is it unfolding kind of as you would expect, minus the injury stuff?
There's been some surprises. You know, I'd have to say that Stuart Puckett coming in and hitting the way he has been hitting due to the injuries was very similar to Rafael Betancourt a year ago, where he didn't play 3-4 weeks into the season and then caught fire and played for us every single day. You know, I think Kyle Scrape on the mound's been a pleasant surprise for us, you know, coming in with not a whole lot of experience and to do what he's been doing for us. That's been huge. Austin Newton taking the next step from the freshman to the sophomore. You know, but we're still waiting. I'm still waiting for more surprises to come up because there's certain areas we still got to get better at. But so far, so good right now.
I know baseball fans watching this, the Bulls, you just mentioned Betancourt's name and, of course, Bobby Boeser. Do you have any updates with them? Boeser, who had probably as amazing of a three-game stretch as you could see with 5 homers and 17 RBI in 3 games.
Yeah, Boeser's got his stitches out yesterday, so now it's just getting the strength back in the hand and everything else. Betancourt's kind of day-to-day. He's going to travel with us to Charlotte. We're still trying to rehab him. MRI results came back good. Now it's just getting the strength in that knee going, and you know, I'm going to wrap him in a bubble at some point because it's always something. But there's nobody that wants to be back on the field more than he does, and Boeser for that regard too.
And there's guys playing through stuff also that fans may not know about because they're still able to get in the lineup most every day. But it's not just the guys that are out. It's the guys that are fighting through things.
Yeah, I mean, our captain, Rosenblum, I mean, he gets hit by a ball at least once a game, if not multiple times. Johnny Montez is dealing with a dislocation of his shoulder. Eric Snow's battling through a back injury. I mean, but they keep battling and they keep fighting, and you know, we're not the only team in the country going through it, so just got to find a way.
When we're watching stuff happen in games and there's all these moments, a lot of replays this past weekend, it's crazy. I want to go down and take let you have people know what's going on down there. First of all, who decides it? Generally, it's the players right away doing the universal sign for replay. But you guys don't have a monitor down there, or do you? Well, so take us through like what the process is. You're just sort of sitting on your hands.
Normally, I'm watching and I'm locked in on it. But normally, I just look at them and I give them a hit, you know, what's going on. And they'll either go to it or they won't. If they don't go to it, then I don't bother with it. But if they do it, I'll challenge it.
And then the other thing that people might not realize is, I forget the opponent, but it was one of our opponents that was trying to do, they do this sometimes at a basketball game, the fake shot clock to try and get you can't do a fake pitch count clock. You got that big pitch count there. I'm sure you were a fan of the game being sped up. At least us broadcasters are. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I think it keeps the game moving. I think it shortened it significantly, because I remember being out here 4 or 5 hours at times for a 9-inning game. You know, when Jimmy Herget pitched, we were out of here in 2 hours. But yeah, I think the pitch clock's been great. I have no issues with it. I think it keeps everything moving quite well. And we'll see what else they change.
You have gone back to your roots a little bit, working directly with pitchers. Not to say you didn't have involvement before, but it's more direct now. We talked to a couple of pitchers before the season about it. They were really excited about it, given your playing career, your career as a pitching coach before taking over the head job. How has that been for you this year? Is it fun?
Yeah, it's good to be back in the element. You know, after kind of taking a hiatus from it for 2 years, you know, and them having a different voice for the previous 2 years, getting my voice back over everything. It's challenging in some ways, but in other ways, you know, the ones who have bought in and have gone, you're seeing the results out on the field. So, yeah, I love it. There's still work to be done. That's probably the one area of improvement we need to see throughout the rest of this year. Guys got to step up, and we got to throw the ball a little bit better.
Well, Billy, thank you very much for joining us. If you guys can't tell, the wind is blowing out here. It always is here at the USF Baseball Stadium. So next time we see you on this show anyway, we'll be getting closer to Clearwater, and hopefully the Bulls continue to rise at the standings. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
We talked about that Ben Rosenblum character. He'll be joining Kaylee and Jim in just a few minutes.
Derek Sharp here. You are listening to Bullseye. I'm going to step away from the show for the next 20 minutes or so. You're going to hear Kaylee Cottrell with Bryce Archie, followed by she and Jim Lux speaking with Ben Rosenblum, and then more Kaylee with assistant football coach DeMarcus Van Dyke, as we don't just cover one sport here on the hour-long program. In fact, my chat with Alvin Todorica of men's tennis will come near the end of the hour.
What's it like being a multi-sport athlete at USF?
It's amazing. You kind of get the best of both worlds. You got football fans, you got baseball fans. You kind of bring those two together, and you know, I'm just trying to be the best I can and do good for the Bulls.
A quarterback, a pitcher. You obviously have a heck of an arm. Walk me through your journey and when you realized you could throw.
It's really been since I was a little kid. I've always been like the hardest throw on the team. I wasn't always the biggest, but my arm has always been the strongest. So that kind of led me to be who I am today.
How do you think baseball helps you in football? And reversely, how do you think football helps you in baseball?
I would start football helping me in baseball. Throwing a heavier ball every day kind of helps me with the velocity and all that comes with, you know, baseball. And then, baseball to football, like the different arm angles, playing shortstop also, not just a pitcher. Different arm angles, having to deal with different awkward throws, kind of helping me on the football field.
How do you balance the sport so well?
You know, USF kind of made it really easy. We got football in the morning, or it was we just finished practice, and then usually if we didn't, we had a game yesterday, so we won't have practice today, but Tuesdays usually I come to football, and then afternoons is usually baseball, so I usually just go to practice, throw, hang out with the guys, and it's really not that hard, just trying to fit everything in with school and just, you know, being the best I can. I've kind of always been doing this. I was a three-sport athlete until my junior year of high school. I had to put down basketball. I was kind of getting too much. And then as I kept growing, and then as my senior year came, I kept getting recruited in both, you know. Came over here. Golish told me just to take a year and, you know, kind of see how things go. And then as the second year came, I progressed on the football field, and he said, let's do it. Let's go play baseball.
What was that conversation like when you wanted to be a multi-sport athlete? Because last year you were on the football team, and this year you're on both.
The conversation was amazing, really. It was a kind of relief for my family. You know, they've always been wanting me to play both. They know my talents. I can do on both football and baseball. So it was kind of a relief and very exciting that I get to help the Bulls out.
Meanwhile, the count is now full. And Rosenblum golfs the ball pretty deep to right field. That's got some carry to it. And it is gone! Ben Rosenblum dents the scoreboard! And the Bulls put a nice dent in it from the beginning. It is 2-0.
Welcome back to Bullseye. Kaylee Cottrell joins us as we continue to talk baseball. Ben Rosenblum is with us. Ben, left field, second base, first base, DH, catcher. If I asked you which one you prefer for the next game, which one are you going to take?
The answer that I go with is wherever Coach Billy wants me to play. I've been a versatile Swiss Army knife baseball player my whole life, so as long as I'm in the lineup, don't care which position I'm at.
How challenging is it when you have to change midstream? You had a couple of games this past week where Matt got injured, couldn't continue, and you had to move in behind the plate from another position. It's such a different mindset to kind of hit that midstream's got to be a little challenging.
Yeah, it's for sure different, but it's what all the training and preparation does. If you were to come out to a practice on any given day, you'll see me get reps in left field, in the infield, behind the dish, just kind of preparing for however I can help best this team.
Your ability to step up is incredible. Is that a role you're comfortable in now because you always deliver?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I just, from a young age, just always wanted to be the guy that was able to go help however the team needs. When I was 10, I was the first time I put on catcher's gear for the first time. I was the only kid that felt on my little league team was tough enough to go behind the plate. And I kind of told myself from there, if you can catch and you can be tough behind the plate, you can go play any position.
It's interesting when you look at your season so far, all the different positions, but it's such a different philosophy offensively for this team this year. Last year was a station-to-station team, not a lot of stolen bases, not a lot of sacrifice bunts. What was your first thought when the coaches told you this year was going to be a little bit different?
Well, the additions of Coach Kunkel and Coach Cates, they've been huge for the program and just our offensive approach. Just coming in and our whole goal, what they preach is the only stat that matters at the end of the game is we have more runs than the other team. Getting rid of the individual stats, the average, the extra base hits, all those things, at the end of the day, we want to have more runs than the other team. So we've worked incredibly hard on steals. I think we maybe had 3 stolen bases at this time last year, and now we're somewhere in the 40 or 50 range. And self shout out, I'm leading the team in that stat, catcher with stolen bases. But just working hard on that, working hard on being an efficient offense that can attack the opposing team in a bunch of different ways. Obviously, we have tremendous power on the team with some guys, Brutcher, Montez, guys that can put the ball over the fence, but we also have guys that can do it in different ways. A sack bunt, a hit and run, just playing executing our offense in a way that we're just continually trying to put pressure and tack on runs against an opposing team.
11 steals, I'll give you the number, 11 out of 13. How is that coming about? What's your philosophy on base? Obviously, you're very aggressive. Sometimes we'll see this team run a double steal when they've got two guys on, but you have been consistent in swiping bases.
It just is credit to Brandon Roberts and our speed training in the gym, and then also just learning new ways to how to approach a stolen base. Pitchers pitch with different tendencies, they have different timings, and being able to adjust to different types of pitchers so then you can get different sort of jumps. And the biggest thing is just our coaches talk about being unafraid to get thrown out. Sometimes in the past, guys have been nervous to swipe bags. We've been so wanting to keep pressure up, afraid to get thrown out, that guys will just not want to steal. And if there's anything about me is that I play the game unafraid. I'm not afraid to get hit by pitch. I'm not afraid to swipe a bag. And that's what I've gone about. We work on different types of jumps, different types of steals, which is little details, but just how we do, we work on it every single day. And that's a testament to our coaching staff. It wasn't a big part of our game in years past. And they identified it as something that we wanted to be an important role in our game this year. So we work on steals, base running every single day. And it's just, and it shows in how we're playing.
You talk about giving credit to your training. I know you're also a big CrossFit guy. What did that work in the off season look like for you and the team?
Yeah, I was home all summer back in Boca, and I have I have an older brother who got big into the gym when I was in middle school. And if you've had any siblings or older brothers, you always want to be just as good, if not better than them. So a lot of credit to my older brother, both my brothers, just pushing me over the years. But I got big into CrossFit, weight training, strength training, and I love it. I love the competitive edge. I like working out, but you're also trying to beat people when you work out. And it's just, you can't take the competitive nature of an athlete out when whatever I do, I want to be the best. So it was a different style training. If you know anything about CrossFit, it's anything from running a 5K to walking on your hands to doing Olympic lifts, and I love it. I love just being similar on the baseball field. I love being versatile. I love not being unable to do anything. I want to be able to push myself, push my body the best I can. And it's done a lot. It's kept me on the field. The way I push myself in the off season allows me to still be able to play, even in spite of minor bumps and bruises along the way. So it's a big part of my game.
I've also talked to Jack about the muscle he's put on. So how much of a difference does that power make for the team?
It's really big how you do everything in the off season. Because when we start getting into these busy weeks, we got, you know, you play 4 to 5 games on any given week. How you set yourself up in the off season and just making sure you're pushing your body, pushing your limits in the fall affects your spring, because then it's just about maintenance and making sure that the work you put in the fall can keep you healthy through the spring. So it's a big part of both mine and Jack's and most of our team. The work that you put in, just the muscular endurance and stuff like that, helps when, you know, you start getting into, we're 25 games in, but once we start getting into, you know, 40, 50 games and the season takes a toll on your body, just making sure that those lifts are just keeping your muscles active.
Ben, last year was not an average year for USF baseball. Team kind of struggled. You were hurt for a while last year. Going into the offseason, you talk about the training and everything, but I know you and everybody on the team wanted to turn this thing around this year. What's the mindset in the offseason as you look back at last year and think we got to get a little bit better?
I think the coaching staff just set that from day one. Just with how we go about, we looked at our record last year, 21-39, and it's embedded in all of our brains. And it's not as a, we're gonna look back and we're gonna sulk or feel sorry for ourselves, but hey, we're acknowledging, we're learning that last year doesn't cut it for how we want USF athletics to be, for USF baseball to be. And we use that as a constant reminder for how we want things to be different this year. So when a lot of guys put that as their phone passwords for a little bit, or they left something as a screensaver, not to, just like I said, to use it as an opportunity, like, hey, how we were last year, we're not gonna let that happen again. So how guys went about it in the fall, just bringing in new staff, bringing in a lot of new players, we're gonna change the culture here. We wanna change the culture across the board. All of the athletics looks is appearing that way. Football did an absolutely great job, and basketball just coming off an incredible season. In that, you know, the three sport mix, baseball, it's now our job. And it's not getting started from, you know, game one on February 16th. No, we set that back in the fall, where we've had to work through a lot of different things. We've had to work through injuries. We've had to work through just the unexpected nature of baseball and athletics, but that we have goals this year, and just sticking to a new approach for how we do anything is how you do everything. And it's not taking reps off in the gym. It's not taking reps off when we're training on the field, and reps in BP. Everything is dedicated and focused so that when we need somebody to step up, they're ready. They're mentally and physically prepared because they've put in just as much work as the superstar guys on our team.
You are catching Bryce Archie, and I'm curious, what's that like? There's a guy with a world of talent, not a lot of reps, didn't pitch at Coastal Carolina, so this is his first meaningful pitching since high school. And Billy likes him so much that he's been in high leverage relief appearances. Now he's a weekend starter. What's it like catching him, getting through the difficult spots?
I mean, Bryce, I've been fortunate to meet Bryce quickly, just kind of bring him in on the team, and he's just a competitor. He's an incredible athlete, he's an incredible talent, and he has that edge to him. You know, probably a lot of credit to just being a multi-sport athlete, and when you talk about being a versatile, myself, playing different positions, well, he's playing two different high-level sports, and just that competitive edge to him. When he goes in those big spots, you see that he doesn't play with any sort of fear, and that's huge in the game of baseball. Stepping on the mound, and regardless of if you're going in up 10 or in a high leverage bases loaded spot where getting a punch out, getting a ground out is a big deal, he competes, he goes after it, and he just has quite the arm on him. So, I mean, he's been a great addition for our team. I've loved getting to know him. He brings a lot of really positive energy every day, but he also, you never see him feared or scared for the big moment. He loves it, and I take a guy like that on my team any day.
Talking about our pitchers, the other day we saw Jack Siebert get on base,
yeah.
Dorsey get on base. I mean, how was that for you guys? I bet you guys were going nuts.
I mean, it was awesome. Just seeing those guys, getting to see them. You can fact check me, but Jack Siebert didn't get a single hit all of high school. That's his first hit probably ever since maybe Little League. But, I mean, you saw the energy. If you got to be there, it was a really cool thing, because that doesn't happen. If you are unfamiliar with baseball, pitchers, for the most part, 98% of them don't hit. So just seeing both of them get in the box, seeing the excitement in the dugout was huge. It wasn't a pretty game on Friday night. It was, whether it's weather or whatever, we had a tough loss on Friday. And just seeing that not affect us, going in there, playing with great energy. Jack did his job on the mound. Dorsey did their job on the mound. But we had fun seeing them in the box. He got a hit. He executed a sack bunt. I mean, we work on that as hitters a lot. They've never worked on it before, but it's just a credit to them. And just playing loose. Going back to what I said earlier, when you aren't scared of failure, it does you great benefit in this game. If you go up to the plate or you're in the mound or anything like that, you can't play this game scared. And those guys both got in the box, and they're pitchers. They're not expected to do anything great, and they went in there and they had fun, and they used their competitive nature as athletes to go in there and compete, and they were both rewarded because of it, and it was awesome in the dugout.
You are such a supportive teammate, And I know you talk about culture. You are such a leader on this team as well, experienced, one of the older guys on the team. What does it mean to you to influence the younger guys coming up?
Well, thank you. I've been so grateful to be a part of this team, to come back. I remember how I was when I was a freshman. I remember how I was when I was a transfer. And I just know how important that is to just have somebody older that makes you feel welcome, that brings energy every day, that holds you accountable, and that can be somebody that you turn to when the things are going really good, but also when things are going really bad. And in baseball, everybody says it, it's a game of failure. So just being able to have somebody that can ask you questions about, hey man, my body doesn't feel right, or hey, my mind's not feeling too great right now, what can I do? And I want to be that guy so badly for my team, because I had that before, and I know how much that mattered to me when I was a new face at a place, or I was just going through a rough patch, going through a slump. And I've just been so grateful for Billy and the staff. I've known Coach Kunkel forever. He was my high school coach. So just being back with a lot of guys that I trust and that encourage me, that love on me, I want to be that same role model for my team.
A lot of travel coming up, Ben. Keep it going on the road. Thanks a lot for taking time for us today.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
Continuing on the show, as you're about to hear Kaylee Cottrell sit down with DeMarcus Van Dyke, the new cornerbacks coach for football, and then yours truly with Alvin Todorica of men's tennis. And then we'll wrap it up after that.
Coach, you are not new to Florida, but you are new to Tampa Bay, so I have to start off by asking, how have you been enjoying it so far? You said Lennon okay?
I'm loving it. I'm loving every bit of Tampa. It's a great city, great people here, and I got family in St. Pete, but it's not actually Tampa, but my sister went here, and I just think this place is awesome. The weather, the people, the football team, everything. I'm loving it here.
Well, we're so happy to have you here, and before we get into your playing career and your coaching career, I want to talk about the fact that you were a multi-sport athlete in college with your background in football, your background in track, not to mention you played on both sides of the ball when you played football in high school. So how do you think that diversity has kind of shaped your overall approach to the game?
Oh, I think it's helped me out just pretty much just how I look at recruits and things like that. You know, I'm looking for guys that ran track, you know, the track background, basketball background, football background, because I think when you do a lot of sports, it helps you become a great athlete overall. And that's how I look at things as far as I'm recruiting kids.
And now getting into your playing career, you played for 6 years in the NFL. What did you learn from that experience that you are now using as a coach today?
I think the biggest thing is pretty much is learning different schemes and like just being in different areas, like, you know, just being in Pittsburgh, being in Oakland, and being in Kansas City, being in Atlanta. I learned how to adjust to people. One of my favorite coaches in the NFL was Mike Tomlin. You know, he was one of those guys that always was straightforward, you know, kept it real with us and told him when we were doing wrong, we were doing right. And I try to kind of like mimic him in some ways of how I coach my players. So I think that's how I like pretty much kind of picked up playing the 6 years in the NFL and try to how I'm transition to my coaching career.
With so much experience as a player and with 6 years of coaching under your belt, how do you use that to help you relate to the players that you coach today?
Oh, because, you know, I try to tell those guys, look, I was once in your shoes and I was able to achieve my goals. So I try to tell the guys, look, man, I have the blueprint to get to the NFL. Like, just trust me, you know, and that's what I try to do, try to put myself in their shoes. I know they got a bunch of stuff going on as far as like academics, you know, their social life. So I try not to put too much on them, but when I get a chance to, I try to like, look, man, I was once in your shoes. So just trust me sometime, all right?
Amazing. Well, to close this out, I have some rapid fire questions for you.
I'm ready.
Okay? What are you listening to pregame?
Pregame, which DVD? The Young DVD or the NFL? Okay, Young DVD, I'm listening to Boosie Boo. NFL DVD, I'm listening to J. Cole.
Anything now?
I'm all in, don't judge me right now. Just my son, shout out to DJ. He put me on this rapper, Babyface Ray. That's the guy's name, Babyface Ray, yeah.
If you could have dinner with any pro athlete, past or present, who would it be?
Muhammad Ali.
Ah, I like that. Muhammad Ali. I like that a lot. Who would be on your football Mount Rushmore?
I only got four. Okay, Sean Taylor. Number two, Ed Reed. My first TV coach in the NFL, Rod Woodson. Oh. And number four, I got my guy, Coach Alex Golish on that, man. AG, man.
I love that.
I got to throw AG on that, man.
Elite answer,
yeah. I got to put him on that, man.
And lastly, if you could go back in time and witness any sporting event in history, what would you want to experience?
You know, it's all, I was always hear about the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. I would love to be a fan to see that happen, like to see a guy put up 100 points on five of the guys. I would love to see that.
I can get behind that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today.
All right. Thank you for having me. Love it.
Bullseye continues on Bulls Unlimited.
Here on a sunny day, and might as well get ready for the heated part of the tennis season in more ways than one, here with Alvin Todorica, who has been here now your fourth year, correct?
Yep.
I lose track sometimes
because
you've been around for a while.
Yeah.
It's a senior day this weekend.
Yep.
It's International Day, which I think there might be one non-international on your team. Did you think about that? Or are they all international?
I think everyone's international, yeah.
And you're from Toronto.
Yep.
You still a Maple Leafs fan or have you become a Lightning fan?
I'm going to stick to Toronto.
Grew up hockey or
Tennis
and hockey? What was your big sport that you maybe could play and be a fan of?
It was a lot of sports, but I'd say I grew up with obviously tennis and soccer until about 11-ish when I started focusing more on tennis. But I mean, every Saturday night is this thing called the Hockey Night in Canada. Almost every Saturday I'd watch Hockey Night in Canada, and I always looked forward to Saturday nights because of that.
I'm picturing you watching, I'm trying to pull back some names as far as famous Canadian tennis players. Was there anybody that you watched and like, I want to be like him someday kind of thing? Or it could have been an American player, I guess.
It wasn't really a Canadian tennis player because there was a few, like Milos Raonic, he was number 3 in the world, but I'd say it was more Rafa because, I mean, he's so dominant, one of the GOATs of the sport, and he's a lefty like I am. So,
well, you know, people would just assume you've become a GOAT here, but, you know, you started off just playing a few matches as a freshman, which is about what you'd expect. And, folks, as a sophomore, you did something incredible. You started back at the 6 courts, then you started playing some 5 and 4. You went on a 14-match winning streak, which I don't care what position you're playing. When you think back, is that almost hard to believe?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I started the season 2-2 at 6, and then one of my teammates got sick, so he didn't travel to the next trip, so I got bumped to 5. And then for some reason, I mean, from there, it just the rest is history, I guess. I mean, 14 in a row, 9-0 at 5, then moved up to 4, and I mean, yeah, it was like dream season for me.
Like a month and a half without a loss. For people not familiar with the college tennis situation, first of all, you play doubles. He's really good at that too with your buddy Eric, and then it's 3 courts. Whoever gets the 2 wins, set wins first, takes the 1-point lead, and then there's 6 singles matches. So you're top players on the 1-2 court, and then it drifts down to 6. But they're all, I mean, I come to a college tennis match, and you couldn't tell me which is 1 and which is 6. And you've seen it from all angles. Is there much difference?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, like you said, I was on the 14-match winning streak, I felt like I could, I mean, I was playing 5 and 4 near the end of the season, but I definitely felt like I could even take, I mean, definitely have a competitive match with our 1 and 2 guys. And I would back myself, especially feeling like I'm not really losing in that time period. So yeah, it depends from team to team, but yeah, a lot of teams are pretty deep like that.
But speak to since you've experienced it from every level, is there something small, I mean, that separates those guys that, you know, thrive at the top spots? Because you've got, and I'm sure there's a little bit of a mental angle to it as well. It's like, okay, it's going to be tough every time out. And you look at his scores, I mean, it's every match is close. Every match is going to be a third set.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. Maybe even correct you on the little bit of a mental. It's a lot of a mental factor. And again, like college tennis is also a lot momentum based. You win a few matches and then you feel you gain momentum, and it's tough to break that momentum. And sometimes, unfortunately, it can go the other way. You lose a few matches and then it's kind of tough to get out of it. But I mean, it's all part of it. I had a few tough losses this season where it was tough mentally, but I mean, you just have to try to work and get out of it.
Whoever you're playing is going to be good, but whoever the Bulls play is going to be good. I mean, you look at this weekend, it's a couple of ranked teams. The Bulls are in the rankings themselves. But could you speak to that part of it? Because not only has Ashley Fisher, the head coach, laid out such an incredible schedule, they just came back from San Diego, where you guessed it, three ranked teams. But also with that, getting to go to some pretty cool places.
Yeah.
That part of it has been fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the best parts about college tennis. I mean, just the whole experience, how many people get to go to across the country just to play something you've always grown up doing. So that's something maybe sometimes people take for granted, but us as college athletes are definitely very fortunate and hopefully grateful for that. So, yeah.
Well, they were just in San Diego, which is now his second home, because I'm going to brag on you a little bit, and I want people to understand this. Generally, until recently, the college, from a team angle, the college season is fall and spring. Fall is more about individual tournaments. It doesn't count for your team ranking. And then the spring is when you play team versus team. So in the fall this year, it became something where they decided, I think this is a good move, to have the individual championships get held. Because normally, after the team in the spring is decided, then the individuals, a lot of whom just worn themselves out, have to play for an individual title. So you, all you had to do was go, was it Georgia? Georgia Tech?
Regional, yeah, it was at Georgia Tech, yeah.
So the Southeast Regional was a 64-player field with Florida, Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, Georgia, all the Southeast teams. And only the ones that made the final, that'd be two out of 64, advanced to the national. And my man here won five matches and did. He finished second, who cares? He got to go to San Diego and was a national quarterfinalist. What was your expectation level high at all going into that? And then you can't break it down match by match because I know so many crazy things happen. But correct me if I'm wrong. Every time it looked like somebody was going to win a set, the other person did. And fortunately, you were losing in most of the sets, meaning you won most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I feel like expectation plays a big thing. I went into that not really having expectations, just wanting to go out there and take it one match at a time in my last fall. And yeah, I mean, it kind of, expectation sometimes works against you because I made it to quarterfinals of nationals, and then going into this season, I kind of had these expectations of keeping it, and then that's sure. When sometimes it goes other way. And
back to the mental thing too.
Yeah, again, yeah, it's all mental. A lot of it's mental. So yeah, I went in there not really having expectations, very close to losing a lot of matches, and luckily, I mean, it ended up going the way it did. Wish I could have won regionals, but definitely still proud of what I did. But yeah, expectation, big part of tennis.
And that'll just set you up for being ready for, I'm guessing, anything in the future. As we start to wrap it up here, yeah, this weekend, you guys got a lot more season to go. But you're playing again on Friday. It's going to be senior day, and then Sunday is international day. How important are these two matches for you guys? I know just a little bit below 500, but obviously you're right there in all these very tough matches.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely very important for us as a team. My mom might be coming out as well, which
no
makes
way.
It extra special. It's not confirmed, but it would be special if she comes.
All the way from Canada?
Yeah, they're gonna fly, not drive this time. I know we've done the drive a few times, but it's too crazy of a drive. So, but yeah, extra special for the team, trying to make a push, get the ranking up, make the NCAA tournament. So. I mean, a lot of things special about this weekend, but we just try to go out and have fun, I guess.
Well, you guys are fun to watch and fun to follow, and I really appreciate you sitting down. I know it's been
Thank you.
A lot on your plate the last few months, and thanks for stopping by on Bullseye. And by the way, ESPN Plus, you can actually watch the match get streamed on Friday. I don't know if you do anything different with your hair. Your hair looks fine. Do you do anything different before a televised match?
Nah, I don't even think about it.
Well, I just made him think about it then. Sorry about that. All right, forget it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We'll wrap up Bullseye next.
Your radio home for South Florida baseball. Bulls Unlimited.
And as we wrap up here, what a great hour, in my humble opinion, of Bullseye that was. The wind is blowing out on the baseball stadium, so I'm just really praying as the guy that does radio on softball right behind us. If the wind's blowing right in my face, actually the softball team will be at home for a big series this weekend. Remember, it's Easter weekend, so everything's moved up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, while the baseball team will be at Charlotte. And we look forward to talking about that on the radio side as I host the show Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Hey, speaking of talking, great to see you catch up with not just Bryce Archie, Mr. I always knew he could throw a fastball in the mid-90s, but DeMarcus Van Dyke. Any other assistant coaches on the football team you want to get us ready for next time around?
Coach Jack Taylor coming up next, and then after him, I talked to Micah James. Both amazing coaches, amazing people. So they had good things to say. Excited for that.
Excellent. And we talked about men's basketball already at the beginning of the show. I didn't want to leave off without mentioning the softball team. They're playing a very difficult schedule and off to a rough start in conference, but they're still right there in the national rankings. And we've got other teams that are nationally ranked. Jim, I know you know of the track and field team. People, they're fifth in the country right now based on their results so far. And the women's golf team, head coach Erica Brennan, what a treasure they are anyway. But now they are the highest ranked team on campus at 36 with another big time victory. There's a lot going on besides just baseball and football and basketball.
It's a lot of fun this time of year.
No doubt. Women's tennis. We'll have, of course, we spoke with Alvin Todorik. I want to mention the women's team as well. They just knocked off another top 50 team, and they have a good shot at the NCAA tournament. We love speaking about all of the sports here on Bulls. I want to thank all of our guests, from Billy and Ben to, of course, the folks that Kaylee spoke to, as well as Alvin Todorik of the men's tennis team. But that'll wrap it up. Jim Lauk, who will be with us all spring long, along with Kaylee Cottrell, I'm Derek Sharp. Thanks for checking us out on Bullseye.